Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It is a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Nobody likes to admit that they can't handle the pressure.
I'm Jim Burns. As a parent, I'm very concerned about the negative peer pressure that impacts my kids. I'm sure if you're a parent, you're concerned about that as well. Today on Homeward, we're going to hear from a man who's concerned about peer pressure too, but his concern is not just for kids, it's for adults as well. Author, professor, and Christian counselor Ed Welch is concerned that many Christians live their lives ensnared by what he calls the fear of man rather than the fear of God. He's here today to show us how we can overcome these things and to show us how we can help our kids overcome them as well. It's going to be a very important program today. That's all coming up on Homeward, so stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, if you want to see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, all you have to do is visit insideazusapacific.tumblr.com and read what real students have to say on that hip and happening social media site called Tumblr. Today here on the Homeward broadcast, we're speaking of social media sites and what's hip and what's not. Kids still deal with peer pressure even into the college and young adult years. Hey, parents and adults deal with it too. Today we're going to talk about some tips for overcoming peer pressure. Counselor and author Ed Welch is with us, and it's a great conversation that Jim's having with his good friend. And now with part one of today's edition of the program, here's Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. Today, I am smiling because I have a very good friend of mine, Ed Welch, with us. We're talking about overcoming peer pressure, codependency, and the fear of man. We're going to explain what that's all about, not just for your kids, but for yourself as well. Ed Welch is a professor of practical theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. He's the director of the School of Biblical Counseling at the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. And he's author of several books. He and his wife, Sherry, have two wonderful daughters, and we have spent lots of time together, had a wonderful dinner together last night. Ed, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Jim. Everybody says it's their privilege, and it is really my privilege.
Well, thanks. It is great to be with you. You've written a book called When People Are Big and God Is Small, Overcoming Peer Pressure, Codependency, and the Fear of Man. I've just finished the book, and I really, really appreciated it.
You were able to make it through the title, huh?
The title, and even the titles that you are, you know, professor of this and director of this, I mean, those are long titles. You may get the award at Homeward for the longest titles of book and of what you do.
Nothing I'd be proud of.
You know, if the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then pretty much the fear of man is the beginning of trouble. And you talk about the fear of man, you know, we understand peer pressure and codependency, we're going to talk about both, but when you talk about the fear of man, what do you mean as the fear of man?
One of the things that really capture me in Scripture is how can we take this timeless truth and bring it to every single day life? So here you have Proverbs, for example, talking about the fear of man. And it's interesting, but it just doesn't intersect with my life. Nobody's ever diagnosed me as having the fear of man. So the question is, how can we take these passages that talk about this thing, and how can we find it everywhere in our lives? Apparently, the Scripture speaks about it so often, it's got to be there. And so that's what I hope to do during our time today, just to be able to find this thing everywhere, so we realize it's epidemic in our own hearts.
But when you say man, you're not describing it as male gender. You know, the Scripture often talks about man as humankind.
Exactly. Certainly, I can be... Well, fear needs to be defined as well. But when I think of my own fear of man, it's the fear of woman just as much or more.
Right. So, when I was reading your book, you told a great story. I'm going to have you tell the story in a moment about, you know, you wondering if you're going to get an award at school. We'll talk about that. But, you know, I think so much of my life as I look back has been, I never thought of it as fear of man, but it was, you know, being a people pleaser and wanting to please people sometimes more than wanting to please God. And wanted to be accepted by people, and yet fearing that if I wasn't accepted, I wouldn't be liked or whatever. And so I would compromise my values. I would compromise my lifestyle. And I think a lot of us as adults continue to do that, and yet kids do too. Tell us first your story and help us understand what we're talking about here. Tell us your story about when you were possibly going to get this award at school.
Well, you've just made the connection between theology and real practical theology, where you said fear of man. How can we find it today? We can find it in just ordinary, every single day peer right. pressure that every single teenager, every single adult experiences. And I can certainly describe my entire life as that particular dilemma, just dealing with what will people think about me, what might they be thinking about me. In the book, I think it came to a head at a particular time when I was a senior in high school, and I was nominated for an award along with some other people. And I was on the horns of a dilemma, where on one hand, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was walk up in front of all my peers and stumble all around and not have any idea what words to say and look like a complete fool. And I probably had a pimple on the end of my nose at the same time. So on one hand, that's the worst thing I could possibly imagine. But on the other hand, if I didn't get the award, that's the worst thing I could possibly imagine because now I'm a complete failure. But you can see on both ends of the poll, my entire life is configured according to the question, what will other people think about me?
And that's the story of teenagers. I laugh because it is a story of teenagers. But what dawned on me as I was going through some of your material was, you know, that's still my story. I mean, I'm 52 years old and I still at times am concerned about what somebody's going to think about. You know, it may not be a pimple on the end of my nose now, but it's, you know, something else that, exactly. that I'm still struggling with. And it really, what I'm beginning to understand is it is a fight between my relationship with God and my relationship with myself in terms of sometimes myself winning because I'm more concerned about it being about me than it is about God.
I think you just put your finger on the heart of the matter. So here's the question. What will people think about me? You're right. It doesn't stop at age 20. It persists throughout life. It just takes a little bit more culturally appropriate forms. It becomes concerns about our resume. I just read, for example, about a man who had a resume that was 34 pages long, and he was 35 years old. And I'm thinking, what happens when he has a 35-page resume and he's 35? That's just like the epitome. It's like golfing your age or something. I don't know. But I was, you know, the first thing I thought was, this man is really amazing. The second thing I thought was, what about me? I don't have a 35-page resume, and I'm a whole lot older than 35, and I will never have a 35-page resume. And here I am thinking, at my age, what a failure. I don't measure up. So you're exactly right. We don't lose it at age 20.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating saying that. I was thinking about, here we are just talking, but our listeners need to just kind of listen in here. I was talking with my friend Steve Arterburn, and we were talking about Promise Keepers. And I had spoken at a Promise Keepers. And he said, well, what's it like? He said, that's kind of been one of my goals. And I said, when I got done and I loved it and it was a great time in ministry, I went, well, I wonder what else there is out there. And I went, unbelievable. What kind of a sicko am I? And yet, you know, it just because we're Christian and sometimes just because we're in Christian leadership doesn't mean that we don't have this ego issue or even motives. But one of the things that I'm hearing you say is it's not just a practical problem. It's a theological problem, this whole idea of fear of man. Talk about that.
Well, it seems at first like it's a personal or interpersonal problem. It's simply about me and you. It's what do you think about me? But we know from the scripture that there's no such thing as merely an interpersonal problem. Every interpersonal problem reflects something in our relationship with God. Jeremiah 17 is a passage that begins to show the roots of this, where Jeremiah 17 says, essentially, there are two ways we can go in life. We can either trust in God, or we can trust in man. We can fear the Lord, or we can fear man. And in that, Jeremiah is saying that they're the only two possibilities. You will have one or the other. If you are trusting in man or fearing man or living life to have the opinions of other people, then you will be ultimately, it says in the passage, turning away from the Lord. So it is ultimately, you're right, it is ultimately a God issue.
When it comes to the issue of codependency, how do you see that fitting in terms of that God or fear of man story?
Well, codependency is that older word, but it has that same idea. What? I am controlled by the things that you think. I'm controlled by the things that you say. I'm controlled by the things you might do or have done. So there it is once again. What is the controlling place in our lives? Or, as scripture puts it, where do we put our trust? Whom do we fear? It's the same thing. We are putting our trust in other people. To use more vivid worship language, we could say that we worship other people. So the question is, who ultimately are we going to worship? Will we worship the Most High God? Or will I bow down to so many other people, hoping if I bow down to them right, if I preach the right sermon or whatever I do toward them, they will give me the approval, the acceptance, the love that I'm hoping for?
Well, that's fascinating. Listen, we're going to have to take a break. We're talking with Ed Welch. We're talking about overcoming peer pressure, codependency, and the fear of man. We're looking at it really from a theological point of view. This is why Homeward exists. We get to talk about important issues like this. As I said at the beginning, if the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then the fear of man is the beginning of trouble. And so many of us do worship, wanting to be accepted and wanting to be liked. And we have that same problem with our kids. So I want to talk to Ed when we come back about how do we help our kids not buy into the peer pressure that so many young people struggle with.
Boy, it is so tough too, Jim. I know that you've seen this in more than 30 years of youth and family ministry, how kids are influenced by their peers and the media influence that has gotten so much stronger than it was even when we were kids. It's important for us as parents to understand. It can be just something as basic as this. The other day, I had to borrow my daughter's laptop to do some work. We're both PC people. And my laptop's 5 years old, and hers is relatively new. And I had a hard time navigating it. And it made me realize that as much as I try to keep up on youth culture, there's new technology and new influences coming in all the time. And we have to be diligent in overcoming that. And one of the things I'm grateful that Ed Welch is bringing to the table today here is just overcoming peer pressure. If you want to help your kids do a better job of doing that, check out the articles and media section of homeward.com. Just type in peer pressure at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hurry up, you're going to be late.
I can't find that permission slip.
Mom, can I borrow the car today?
Oh, I'm late for a meeting, Debbie. Can you pick up my dry cleaning?
The breathless pace in which we're living our lives is tearing families apart. It's placing pressure on the family system that we couldn't even have imagined, even just a generation ago. When we're under stress, we don't communicate as well as we need to. The lack of communication starts tearing our relationships apart, which leads to more stress, and the downward spiral continues. If you're a parent, you set the stress tone in your home. So set a good example, both for your spouse and your kids. Be available. Be a good listener. In fact, if you really want to lower the stress level in your home and improve communication at the same time, why not try doing something revolutionary, like having dinner together as a family at least 3 or 4 times a week? It really does work. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Why Dinner Time Should Be Family Time, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Ed Welch with us today, overcoming peer pressure, codependency, and the fear of man. He's a professor of practical theology at Westminster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania. He's also the director of the School of Biblical Counseling at the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, author of several books, very good books. He and his wife, Sherry, have 2 daughters, and we have spent much time together kind of hanging out. And he comes out here on sabbatical sometimes to California. We go hang out at the beach, Roger. So, you know, we've beached it. I've never beached it with you. So
I've never had a sabbatical.
Roger just Well, Roger will have to do something about that sabbatical. Just, you know, ask me again in about 10 years. Great. Ed, I kind of want to go back and forth with this because I'm thinking about me personally in terms of learning some of this and our adult listeners, but I'm also thinking about my kids. You know, my kids are great kids. They have security in who they are and they have a relationship with God, but, you know, peer pressure plays into it. What do we do as parents?
Yeah, the greatest families in the world are not sufficient to protect our children from peer pressure. I mean, the myth is that if you have a highly dysfunctional family, you're more prone to it. But you can have a wonderful family, which includes myself. I came out of a wonderful family, but I feel plagued by this particular problem. So how do we introduce this to our children? Let me go after it a roundabout way. Matthew 7:3-5. Before you look and see it in somebody else, make sure you find it in yourself. Okay? So the best way we can serve our children with this particular problem is to begin by locating it in our own hearts. So what would that mean? Let me think through that even personally over the last couple of days. Well, I mentioned to you during the break, I think, that I saw somebody whose resume was huge and was a whole lot bigger than my own. And all of a sudden, this sense of being a failure just popped into my mind. I'll never measure up. What will other people think of me when they evaluate me according to those kinds of resumes that are out there? Here's another place that it came up. In the last couple of days, my wife said something to me that I took some small offense at, and I found myself withdrawing from her. I found myself withdrawing. Now, what does that have to do with the fear of man? My wife is controlling me. I want, what's being exposed is I want to be loved desperately by my wife. And when I don't get the things that I want from her, then I feel like nobody. I feel utterly powerless to be able to love her. So I want to find, where can I be controlled by the things other people do, say, or might say? So that's step number one. We have to be able to find it in ourselves. So what do we do? Personal appearance. What will I look like to other people? And certainly that's rampant. I mean, all of us, there's nothing wrong with trying to look presentable. But as all these things go, there's a slippery slope where it becomes something, I think we would probably say, idolatrous in our life. If it's something that is the center of our very lives. Here, let me give you one other illustration where I can find it in my own life. I was on a plane recently, and I noticed with the person next to me in the plane, I wanted to look smart. Okay, I told them that I was there doing some lectures, and I wanted to speak to them about the Lord, but I wanted to speak about the Lord in such a way that I would look smart. Okay? So if you want to find this fear of man, this peer pressure in your own life, look for ways that you are reluctant to talk about Jesus Christ with your friends, because the question is, what will they think of me when they think that I am this person who has devoted my life to somebody I believe has risen from the dead?
That's a fascinating way of looking at it. Now, the scripture says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does that mean?
The Apostle Paul says similar things when he talks about the great prayers of scripture. They are that we would know our God, that we would know him, we would know his love, which passes understanding. So, all right, I've located this in my own life. I'm not quite thinking about my children yet. I want to be able to just be taken to task by God and his word first, so I can offer these things meaningfully to my children. So I thought that it was about my relationship with my wife. I thought it was about that guy in the seat next to me in the plane. But ultimately, it's about, who is my Lord? Okay, who do I ultimately worship, myself and my own desires, or my God? I mean, that is the fundamental question of the human heart, and it's the fundamental question even when there is people-pleasing in our lives. So the treatment is not, oh, I got to shape up, I got to serve God, I got to worship him, rather than worship my own desires and worship other people's approval. The task is, all right, how can I know that God is more beautiful than anything I could possibly be imagining?
And how do you do that?
Well, this is going to sound very simplistic, not simplistic, but simple. The first thing I do is I pray, Lord, I must think the opinions of other people are more attractive than you. Okay? So what I need to do is know that you are more beautiful than anything imaginable. So that prayer is a prayer that God loves to answer. Okay? So we begin with that. And then for me, it's a matter of getting into Scripture. And when I get into Scripture, instead of asking the question, what am I supposed to do? How can I change? The question is, all right, who is God? That's really the issue here, because I love the praise of men more than I love to adore my God. So it's a matter of going through Scripture, and whether it's 1 minute or 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it might be, I want to look to be awed by the mighty God. That's the goal, and that is the way of change.
So in many ways, it's taking your eyes off yourself and looking to God. Not easy. It takes some discipline. But if we do that, we're still going to struggle with the fear of man issues. We're still going to struggle with peer pressure.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's kind of like the balance. We begin to focus more on God than on ourselves.
One of the things that has happened in my own life as a Christian, and it hasn't happened perfectly, but it's given me the privilege of thinking less often about myself. It hasn't got me thinking horrible about myself. It hasn't got me thinking great about myself. It's simply given me the privilege to think less frequently about myself and to consider more and more something that is much grander, the person of God. So in other words, I am dealing with the fear of man when I am searching Scripture and just saying, Lord, teach me about yourself. You can't have this growing knowledge of God along with this healthy fear of man in your life. You can only have one and not the other.
That's very interesting. For someone listening who realizes that people are really big to them and God is small in their lives, what are a couple of things that they can begin to do even today to change that?
To pray that God would be big, number one. Number two, to ask the simple question, you alluded to this, why am I so concerned about me? Okay. That, to me, that turns the lights on so often. Why am I so concerned about my reputation? Why am I so concerned about what I receive from other people? Why is it always about me? Okay. And allow that question to be the turning point to, okay, how can I know this God who is utterly, astoundingly glorious?
And you know what? I want that. I know our listeners want that. We want to be more in touch with that incredible God. And yes, not easy. We've got to be able to make those important decisions. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Ed, I've got to ask you to come back because we are not done. Can we talk next time and we can go through this?
No, I'd love to. Thanks.
Great. Ed Welch with us, Overcoming Peer Pressure, Codependency, and the Fear of Man.
And the book he's written on this is When People Are Big and God is Small. And I know that's kind of a provocative title, but it really just underscores what peer pressure is all about. How often we take our focus off of our great big God that we worship and serve and love to have a relationship with, and we elevate the presence of people in our lives. And Ed Welch has done a great job of underscoring that dichotomy and helping us put it in right perspective. You can learn more about Ed's ministry when you go to homeward.com if you're not there already. Remember also, if you missed any part of today's program, we always stream audio without cost. There's no subscription fee to do so. Just go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section. You can stream audio of Homeward along with us.
My guest today on Homeward has been author, professor, and Christian counselor, my friend Ed Welch. Ed's been with us to show us how we can overcome the peer pressure and the codependency and this fear of man that he talked about that can rule over our lives if we're not careful. Ed said that the key to overcoming these things is to make God bigger in our lives. I've thought a lot about that. The question then becomes, how do we make God bigger? As I think about how to answer this question, I'm reminded of a very special friend in my life. His name is John Campbell. He used to always say, it's not about me, it's about God. And he seemed to have a better perspective than most anyone I've ever known. I got a letter from John and his wonderful wife, Peg, and this letter, which I'm going to read part of it to you, says, above all else, he was talking about his life, God is God, and he is holy, he is sovereign, he is loving beyond our comprehension, and he custom packages life for each of us for our good and his praise. And then he says, it's within that brief yet unquestioned framework, Peg and I share the latest of what God has entrusted to us. He goes on to say, as most of you know, that by God's grace, I've been a long-term survivor of two bouts of Hodgkin's disease. In fact, it'll be 29 years this March since I was told I wouldn't live to see Christmas as the cancer had moved into my spine and into my bone. For the past half dozen years or so, I've been impacted by the long-term effects of the radiation and chemotherapy, which is very common. As a result of some of my more recent physical challenges, I had an endoscope procedure last week. I'd been experiencing some difficulty swallowing and keeping food down. Well, the pathology came back yesterday and listened to what he said. By God's sovereign hand, he has asked Peg and I to embrace the cancer experience a third time. And then he said he was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. Well, obviously, this has taken us a bit back. Yet at the same time, we know every facet of our lives is to be given back to him with our trust in his praise. Well, John died, but as he went to be with God, what I experience from that man for so many years, and really one of the main reasons why you're listening to this program today is because of this incredible man who understood how to make God bigger in his life. And he said, it's not about me, it's about God. And he did that even in the toughest of times. And what I'm finding is that people who understand that comment and understand that phrase can make God bigger and us smaller.
Absolutely, Jim, and it seems hard to believe that it's been 8 years now since John left us, but what a tremendous influence he had on your life and on my life and the lives of many of our listeners, too, through the great work he did in Christian broadcasting, and we'll always remember that. But it's not about us, it's about God. Let's keep that perspective. You know, as we wind down today's program, we're also nearing the end of our fiscal year, which comes at the end of June. I want to thank you if you've been praying for us and supporting us financially throughout the course of the year. We really appreciate that. And if you can support support us financially once again here at the end of our fiscal year with a gift of $25 or $50, $100, even more, $500 or $1,000. Really goes a long way in this ministry. I can assure you, having been part of this broadcast since its inception, that all the money is used very, very responsibly. And you can give a gift online at homeward.com or write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.